Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We have a great word to share with you today at Destiny Church. Sit back, be encouraged, and let's get into the word.
We're going to lock it in right here on 1 John chapter 4. So we've been in a series on 1 John, and today is no different. We're going to pick it up right where we left off. So if you have a piece of paper, something to take some notes with, you may want to do that. We're going to be talking 1 John chapter 4. Also, I have a handout for you today, and you're going to hear a little bit about that in a few moments on how you can get the handout. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your kindness. Your loving kindness is better than life itself. We gather here today as the church, as the body of Christ. For those who don't have a commitment to you at this point, but are just kind of checking things out and looking and wondering, I want you to know in the name of Jesus, you are welcome. Thank you, Father, for this place and this time. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen, amen, amen. I want to start with a quote that has really stirred my life here as of late. And it says, "We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light." Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Everything you need is found in Jesus. So in 1 John chapter 4, we're going to start verse number 1. He says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." I want to stop right there. Listen, I'm only going to jump off a few places because this is such a great chapter. And this is one of the places we're going to do it. "Dear friends," he says, this is John. He says, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." I don't know, you know, in these days that we're in right now, the number of news reports that you hear are just amazing. And I want you to know that not every news report that you hear is true. In fact, some people this past week texted me some information. "Did you hear that such and such is going to happen? Or did you know that this is about to happen?" And my first response is, who told you that? Who told you that piece of information? You didn't pull it out of thin air. Somebody told you that. Let's verify the source. Let's not contribute to chaos or hysteria. Let's make sure that what we say is the truth, and what we listen to is a good report. Now, the Bible gives us information about how we are to look at these spirits. It says, don't believe every spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, there is a gift that's available to every believer, and that's called the discerning of spirit. That is, that when you hear a piece of information, you're able to go, you know what? Either that sounds like God or that doesn't sound like God. And when you know that God is good and that God is watching after you, that God is not mad at you, that God loves you, that is a wonderful filter to begin to bring information into your life. But you can't believe every report. You can't believe every spirit that comes at you. Verse number 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now remember, for those of you that have been with us in the study for a while, the "in the flesh" is really an important phrase here, because John was dealing with a bunch of people who thought all you had to do was know a bunch of stuff. That didn't have to be a change of heart. You could go on being stupid and go on continuing in your sin and all that craziness. But he says, no, Jesus came in the flesh. And the heresy that he was battling has a fancy word. It's called Gnosticism, or the people were called Gnostics, and they just believed it. If he just had the secret knowledge, well, that's not how it works. There has to be a change in your life. So he says that you must acknowledge that Jesus has come in the flesh, verse 2, and is from God, verse 3. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, we've talked at length in this series. Whenever that word comes up, I'm not here to unpack that suitcase again and rehearse all the things that we've discussed about the Antichrist. But in these last days, this is a very pivotal moment where you need to know a little bit about that. So I'd encourage you to go back in the last week and the week before and download those podcasts, listen to those things. When I talk about the spirit of Antichrist is alive, the spirit of Antichrist is well right here in the world today. And even there is an Antichrist who is alive and ready to move on to this scene, even as we speak right now. Nothing catches God by surprise. So there is a spirit of Antichrist. He is coming. He is here, and this is what the Word of God says. Verse 3, this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard what? Is coming, but even now is already in the world. You say, how in the world? I can't help myself here for a second, because this coronavirus, the COVID-19 thing is such a small little way for us to get a window into how quickly the end times can come upon us. These are the last days. I don't know if you know that or not, but they've been the last days ever since the Lord said these are the last days. So it's no more the last day today than it was yesterday, but should the Lord tarry, there is an unfolding plan on how God is going to wrap up this thing, this world that we're in right now. When he came the first time, he came, remember, as a baby in a manger, but now he's not coming as a baby in a manger anymore. He's coming riding on the white horse, and he's calling home the church. So we've got to be ready. And then it says, in the last days, when the tribulation comes, there's going to be chaos in the world. Now, if what we're in the middle of right now isn't chaos, it's just kindergarten chaos. Because what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation is going to be crazy. But let me just run a scenario by you. This is just a possible scenario. I'm not saying this is coming. I'm not speaking prophetically. I'm just going to give you an example on how this could easily escalate into something where the church has really got to be the church. So now the coronavirus is amongst us, and let's say, hypothetically, they discover a vaccine so that you can't carry the virus anymore, and you can't transmit it to anyone. Well, then all of a sudden they mandate, meaning whomever, the world government, the World Health Organization, whomever the powers that be in America or in other countries, they mandate, you must, underline, you are ordered to have this vaccine. Well, let's say you don't want it for whatever reason. Well, it doesn't matter. You're going to have it. If you want to go out of your house, because you are locked down unless you have received this vaccine. Well, how then does the world know, those whom you have commerce with and move around the community, how would they even know whether or not you are or are not vaccinated unless you had some, say, physical mark that was indelible, that you just couldn't fake, you couldn't make it phony, you couldn't make it. So I'm saying, they could obviously say, well, you got to have this virus, and unless you have this virus, here's how we're going to mark you, those who have received the vaccine, and you understand what's happening. I'm not saying that's how it's going to unfold. I'm just saying this is how close we are in the last days, and it happens suddenly, doesn't it? It happens suddenly, and I want to make sure that you're ready. Verse 4, dear children, are from God, and you've overcome. Because the one who is in you, I love this, greater is he that is within you than he that's within the world. That's what it says in verse 4. Verse 5, they are from the world, therefore speak from a viewpoint of the world. That's what the world does. They don't have any other perspective. They don't have a Christian perspective. They don't have a Christian worldview. They don't have the lens of the Bible, of the Word of God, this sharp, living, powerful tool in their lives to view what's going on in the world today. And so, of course, they run around like chickens with their heads cut off because they don't know that God is on the throne. They're from a world. Verse 5, they're from the world, therefore they can only speak from their viewpoint, which is that of the world. Verse 6, but we're from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, but who is never not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, I'm going to name for you some very influential false prophets. And generally, I don't name names. I want you to figure these things out for yourself, as I'm not in the business of telling you what to think. I want you to think for yourself and praise the Lord that God allows us as born-again Christians to think for ourselves. But I want to tell you that there's a lot of false prophets in the world today, and I'm going to name them. Here they are. CNN is a false prophet. Fox News is a false prophet. NBC, CBS, ABC, Dr. Oz, Oprah is a false prophet. Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Warren Buffett, every one of them is a false prophet. They're speaking from a world's perspective. They don't have the revelation of the Word of God in their lives to understand what's happening in the world today. I get asked all the time, they say, Eric, What news source do you listen to? Do you ever, anybody ask you that? Where do you get your news? And as a pastor, people are wanting to know where I get my news, and I totally understand that. They want to know how it is that I hear what's going on in the world. Where do you get your news? Well, I'm going to tell you where I get my news. Yes, I hear what's going on in the world today, but the only news source that is 100% accurate is this. This is called the good news. This is the only news source, listen to me, the only news source that is 100%, not 50% accurate. I don't know what's the accuracy rate on Oprah or Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or NBC or CBS or Fox. I don't know what their accuracy rate is, but I'll guarantee you this, it's not 100%. That's why they're false prophets. Now, of course, in the New Testament, we don't stone false prophets. We just let everybody figure it out for themselves. And then God will take care of it in the wash, you know, when it all washes out. But I'm going to give you a heads up right now. If you want to hear the news, the good news, that is 100% accurate all the time, this is what you need to have. It's the Bible. C.S. Lewis said, "You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or its falsehood becomes a matter of life and death to you." Oh, you can say you believe this and you can say you believe that, but it isn't really what you believe until at that moment it is a matter of life and death. And right now, in the middle of what's going on in the world, this is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of life and death. And so you need to know the truth. You need 100% true. Difficult days, we look for truth. But if I recall, Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." If you're lost, he's the way. If you're wanting to know truth, what's true? What report is true? I'll tell you in just a moment what is true. Well, when it's a matter of life and death, you know what you really believe. Now, I thought that, you know, in a matter of life and death, we have a number of instances in the New Testament where death was approached. And one of the most obvious times is when Jesus was told that Lazarus is dead. He's dying. He's dead. He was dying. Jesus shows up. He's dead. And then, of course, everyone is freaking out because you'd only know what you really believe in the times of life and death. That's what we just said. So if that's true, in those moments of life and death, you exhibit what you really believe. And so Jesus shows up at the scene where Lazarus is now buried, dead, buried in the tomb. And we have the shortest verse in the Bible. You may or may not know what that is. It says, "Jesus wept." Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, John 14:6. So I would think at this death of Lazarus and this friend, his friends and his family that are gathered there, that is a moment of life and death. So what's going to be exhibited is what you truly, honestly believe. And so when Jesus comes on the scene and all these people are just beside themselves because of their friend's death, it says that Jesus wept. So the question then is begged, why did Jesus cry? Jesus did not cry because Lazarus was dead. Jesus wept because he saw the unbelief in the people that were gathered around that tomb. They were exhibiting what they really believed in the moment of life and death. In these difficult times right now, don't be in fear. Exhibit what you believe. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Well, difficult times come. So whose voice are you going to believe? Currently, right now, on the Capital Radio Group, there's 7-8 stations there, and they have a broadcast area of 60 miles around Springfield with a listening audience of potentially 300,000 people. In all the things that could be done, we decided we want to put out a good report. We want to put out the voice of truth, which is the Bible, what God has to say. And so as you're driving around central Illinois and you're listening to the radio, you might hear that psalm, Psalm 91, such an encouraging, strengthening, powerful. Let me Let me just read a little bit of it to you. I think I have it marked. Listen, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter, and again, we are sheltering in place. And where are we sheltering in place? Under the shadow of the Most High. He says, I am the Lord Almighty. He is your refuge, your fortress. In my God, you shall trust. And you'll not have to worry about the arrow that comes, the deadly pestilence. He is with you. He is there to comfort you. He is there to be your strength. And you don't hear that from the false prophets on television. But the word of God says, listen, relax. God's got this all under control. The voice of truth is the voice of Jesus. We sang it in worship this morning, the Casting Crowns song. It says, but the voice of truth tells me a different story. You know the story. Of course you do. You've watched it on your Facebook feed. You've watched it unfold in your workplace, in your home, in your family, in the hysteria. Listen, the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this, meaning these times, these chaotic moments, even this is for my glory. God says, I'm going to work this thing out. And of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose, and it is a choice. You've got to make a choice. Any old dead fish can float downstream. You got to swim upstream and say, I'm going to make a choice. And the choice I'm going to make is I choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Here's why I'm listening to the voice of truth. Imagine, in fact, Miles, you're going to have to follow me, my brother, because I wasn't planning on going over here, but I want to grab this. All right. Got a bottle of water, 100% pure. Say I've got a whole line of them up. This is 100% pure. But let's say I set up a whole row of them, and the other ones next to it say, in small print, 3% sewage. 3% sewage. 3% sewage. 3% sewage. But there's one of them that's 100% pure. Let me ask you, which one do you want to drink? Well, of course I want to drink the one that's 100% pure. Why would I? Listen, some of the stuff you're bringing into your mind, some of the stuff you're hearing, some of the stuff you're listening to, oh, it's good, and I know that person, and so on. Listen, their world perspective, their world lens is not through the voice of truth. And anything else, although it's 97% accurate, there is still 3% sewage. And you just said you don't want to drink anything that's got 3% fecal matter in it. So why do we do that? I'm telling you today, this is the voice of truth. You've got to choose to believe what is 100% true about you. All right? So be careful who you listen to. And some people don't listen real well. I'm going to tell you a story. Listen, you're the engineer on a train. Now there are 36 people. Listen, 36 people on board. At the first stop, 10 people get off and 2 people get on. At the next stop, nobody gets off, but 5 people get on. The third stop, 4 get off. And 2 get on. Got it? Now here's your question. What's the name of the engineer of the train? Wait a second. I wasn't studying for that. Right. But did you listen? You do know the name of the conductor. I told you. Because at the very beginning of the story, I said, you are the conductor of the train. 36 people are on the train. You see how selective listening happens? How we hear some things and we don't hear other things? This is why who you choose to listen to is important. Check this out. In Luke chapter 8, verse 16, no one lights a lamp, hides it in a jar, puts it under a bed. Instead, what does he do? He puts it on a stand so that all those who come can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that is not disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought into the open. Now, you've never seen this verse before. I want you to see it now. Verse number 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. How you listen. Listening's important. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Well, the world, every false prophet says, oh, you're powerless, you're just a cog in the wheel. But Jesus, but the Bible, the living word, the voice of truth, tells you a different story. So what I have here is this card. And you know, it's just the providence of the Lord that it turned up being a card that's about the size of a postcard, because we want to mail this to you. So if you want a copy of what I'm about to share with you, you can text us right now at 217-685-4124. That's the church number. Just text us right now. Just text the word card. Of course, we're going to need your address, and we'll mail you one of these. We're going to give one to each of you here this morning, but we're going to mail it to you if you want one. Okay? Now, if you're already a member of the church, we're just going to automatically mail it to you. But I'm talking to those of you that are watching via the stream, those who don't consider this your home. We still want to get one of these in your hands. And it says this: be careful who you listen to. This is what the Bible says about you. And what I've done is I've typed up 34 different things that the Bible, the Word of God, says about you that are true. Okay? So if you want one of these, email us at office, destiny217.org, or text us, and I'll get one of these to you. I want to read, and what, by the way, what you're going to do with this when you get it is you're going to put it on your refrigerator, and maybe you're going to think about one of them a day for the next 34 days. You're going to memorize the verse. You're going to share it with your family. It's going to encourage you. Put it right there on the refrigerator door. So here's a couple of them. Number one on the list says this: I am a child of, and every one of them has a scripture reference. I am a child of God, Romans 8:16. That's who you are. If you love Jesus, if you're a child, that's who you are. Now, what good parent isn't going to take care of their child? And God is a good God. He's going to take care of you. If he takes care of the birds of the air, he takes care of the lilies of the field. If foxes have holes to sleep in, the Bible says, there's a place for you, and I've got you. I've got you in the palm of my hand. Moving down the list, number five says, I am not moved by what I see, 2 Corinthians 4:18. I'm not moved by what I see. Why? Because what I see changes. What I believe is this. This is unchanging. Not one dot, not one comma, not one word of this is untrue. Every word in the Bible is true. Every chapter, every verse, every line. So I choose to believe that. Everything else is going away. This building will burn. This world will come to an end. Moving down the list, number 12. I am, because this is what the Bible says about you, I am kept in safety wherever I go. Psalm 91, verse 11. This is the chapter that we're reading on the radio for the next 2.5 weeks. But verse 11 of chapter 91 in Psalms says, I am kept in safety wherever I go. Of course, don't be foolish. Hello, wash your hands. You know, cover your mouth when you sneeze. Stay home if you're sick. All of those types of things. But you know what? God's got you. You're in safety. Fear is not in you. The only thing we're to fear is to fear the Lord. And that is a reverence, a respect of him. Everything else is secondary. Keep yourself together, folks. Number 22, I am led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. In other words, they may tell me this and you may tell me that. I gotta tell you what, let me just tell you this. You know, it's amazing how many people want to give advice to pastors about how to pastor during a pandemic. But what's interesting is everyone who wants to give you advice on how to pastor during a pandemic has never pastored in a pandemic before. Everyone's got all kinds of advice for you, for me, and everybody else. But what you need to do, and this is what I always encourage everyone to do, think for yourself, listen to the Spirit of God, and be obedient to the Spirit of God. That's for you to do. And for me not to tell you what you should do, but to trust the Lord, what he's saying to you. Listen to him. Dial down the world long enough. Spend some time with him. And I'll tell you what, sometimes it says in Psalm 23, he maketh me lie down. Could the Lord just be quieting the church so we can get alone with him a little bit longer and hear what he has to say and not the clamoring of all the voices? Not the clamoring of all the voices. I am led by the Spirit of God. Oh, there's a whole list. I'll give you another one or two and then we'll move on. Number 30 on our list, and you can, again, text us or email us. We'll get this to you. I am exercising my authority over the enemy, Luke 10:19. You have the authority. I can trample on snakes and scorpions. He says, I've overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And to the extent that you believe that, you will receive it. Exercise your authority. If you don't know that you have the authority, you're going to slink around. You slink around and I don't know and be all mousy and I don't know, can I, should I, would I, could I. But let me tell you what, if I ask one of the pastors here in this room, hey, go out to my car and get this out of my car and bring it in, they would walk with authority because they know who sent them. And as they open the door of my car, the policeman would pull up and say, what are you doing getting in that man's car? You say, wait a second, I've got the authority to do this. And you go ahead and do it. But if you didn't realize you had the authority or you were working presumptively without his authority, then you'd be in trouble. I'm telling you, God said to you through Jesus, the truth, all authority I've given you. So do what he's commanded you to do. Last one. I'm getting kind of excited here. Last one. 34, I'm an overcomer. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, Revelation 12, verse 11. How are you going to overcome? How are you going to make it? How are you going to make ends meet? How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to take care of your kids? How can you watch your kids go to work, not watch your kids, feed them, get them through school? Homeschooling all of a sudden is now mandatory, which is crazy. You're taking care of your kids, and you're trying to provide for your family. And all of a sudden you got laid off. And so you're in a tailspin. You're trying to figure out, relax, relax. You will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Meaning, Jesus, the blood of a lamb, right here, the word of God. Get into the word of God. If you don't know even where to start, text us. We'll help you. We'll give you some information. I would suggest getting into the book of John, the gospel of John. Just start right there, read, and find out who he is and who you are and the authority that he's given you as a child of God. You're going to overcome by the blood of a lamb and the word of your testimony. In other words, what are you speaking over your home? What are you speaking over your family? What are you speaking over your finances? Well, we're never going to make it. I don't know. It's just horrible. Woe is me. It's going to be horrible. Yeah, those all may be the reality in the natural as you look through the lens of the world. But that's not your lens. Not if you're a child of God. You're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, what's coming out of your mouth. Hey, listen, I'm a child of God. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. We're going to get through this, kids. It's going to be all right. God loves you. He loves us. He's right here with us. Come on, let's just pray. Let's be encouraged. Let's sing some songs. Let's praise God. Will you make that the nucleus of your home? Things will begin to change. I guarantee it. So that's 34 of those, and they're very, very encouraging. If you want one, text us right now at 217-685-4124. We'll get it to you as soon as we can, or email us at office@destiny217.org. The word of God is the only thing that's 100% pure truth. There's not 3% sewage. It's 100% truth. Because every other fountain that you drink from, and by that I mean information, the knowledge, the stuff that you're getting from the world, every other fountain that you drink from, there is a bit of sewage in it. There's greed, there's idolatry, there's perversion. Everyone has their own agenda, why they're saying what they're saying. There's lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. We covered that in 1 John already. And I think that was all from like verse 5 or 6. And there's a lot of verses in this chapter. I got myself a little wound up, so... That all comes from he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So let's go on, quick read the rest of the chapter, and I'm going to drop a few more things on you, and then we'll let you go on your way today. Verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If you got a highlighter and your Bible is open, you should probably consider just highlighting the word love in this chapter, because it's amazing. I think there's probably 15, 16 times the word love is used in here in John. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only son, Who is that? He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and that he sent his son as a sacrifice for our sins. So dear friends, since God loved us, so we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Verse 13, we know that we live in him and he is in us because he has given us his spirit, capital S, the pneuma, the wind of God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified the Father has sent his son to be what? The Savior of the world. So this truth that's offered is for whosoever. It's not exclusive to us. It's to anyone that wants the truth, that wants to be born into the kingdom of God. It's available for you. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him. Verse 15. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. Why? God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete amongst us so that we will have confidence on that day of judgment because in this world, we are like him. Now we're going to wrap it up probably right here. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out or casts out all fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I'll just read the last two verses here. We love because he loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Back at verse number 18, it says, there is no fear. There is no fear in love. So, in the world of social media, and that's where the world is today as we are all locked down and shelter in place and quarantine, I would just ask you, I challenge you to put a hashtag somewhere on one of your social media platforms that says no fear. Hashtag no fear. Would you? Maybe on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, somewhere, encourage someone else by saying, you know what? I'm not afraid. No fear. There's a poet from the 1800s. You may know his name, Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says this. When a resolute young fellow steps up to a great bully, the world, and then takes him boldly by the beard, he is often surprised to find that it comes off in his hand and that it was only tied on to scare away the timid adventurers. I'll tell you what, the enemy comes in and he's a roaring lion. He wants you to be so petrified. He wants you to be in so much fear. This amazing quote of Emerson, he says, you know what? The bully, which is the world, you step up to him and you grab his beard, you're going to find out it's just tied on with a string. When you walk in the authority that God has given you and you do what God's called you to do, whatever that is, and you do it in faith, knowing that God is with you, that he is your source, that you are sheltered in him, there's a new level of authority that comes to your life. And I'm going to show you a video about a man. He was a coach in a high school in Oregon just last year. His name is Keenan Lowe. Keenan Lowe was a coach. And on that day, a teenager at the school had smuggled in a shotgun to the school. And the coach happens upon this young man. And he says, quote, the door opens and I'm within arm's length of the young man, about 3 feet away from the door. And there's the kid with a gun, a shotgun. And in a fraction of a second, I saw the look on his face, the look in his eyes, looked at the gun, realized it was real, and then my instincts took over. I lunged for the gun, put two hands on the gun, took it away from him. Obviously, there were kids screaming. I'm kind of condensing his testimony. And in the video you're about to see, You're going to see the coach. He's taken the gun away from the child, from the teenager, and he hands it to another teacher. And then to calm the student, what this man does is amazing. Instead of running, instead of beating this assailant, the coach literally reaches out and hugs this kid. The kid starts to cry. I'm going to show you the video. I'm going to show you the power of love. Check this out.
The ingredients are a recipe for disaster. A gunman, a school hallway, and students fleeing for their lives.
Possibly going to be an active shooter now at Park Rose High School. Need more cars.
Except this story doesn't end in tragedy. It ends with a heartfelt hug.
Obviously, he broke down, and I just wanted to let him know that I was there for him.
In May, then 18-year-old Angel Granados Diaz brought a shotgun to his Oregon high school, concealed under a garment bag. Minutes later, sports coach Keenan Lowe, also a security guard, went to check on Granados Diaz, not knowing that he was armed.
In a fraction of a second, I analyzed everything really fast. I saw the look in his face, look in his eyes, looked at the gun.
Prosecutors say the student tried to discharge the weapon on himself before Lowe wrestled it away, handing the shotgun to a teacher, and then this hug that seemed to go on for minutes, the boy tightening his arms and the coach his resolve. Tonight, public reaction to this heart-melting gesture pouring in. What a compassionate hero. This coach has tremendous courage. In another tweet, kindness speaks volumes. Granados Diaz reaching a plea agreement with no time behind bars, but mandatory mental health treatment. As for the coach who saved the day, Lowe played wide receiver in college, a position known for quick moves and strong instincts. And on this day, he summoned both to save a life.
I told him I was there to save him. I was there for a reason, and that, you know, this is a life worth living.
Verse 18, there is no fear in love, and perfect love drives out all fear. Fear is a very real thing, and there's a neurobiologist at UCLA. He says this: fear is far more powerful than reason. Fear is far more powerful than reason, because fear is persuasive. It's automatic, and to some extent, it's out of control. He says it's built into our operating system as a defense mechanism from the old days when the most important question was, can I eat it or can it eat me? I mean, that's from the very beginning. That's built into our defense mechanism. Fear, oh no, can I eat it or can it eat me? And what we've done over the millennia is, even in marketing, getting people to take action or to buy a product, in some cases, seems to virtually require that fear be part of what is sold to us in order to get us to move. In public health issues, like convincing people to wear seatbelts, there was a little bit of fear in selling us that we should wear seatbelts or to buy a product. How about cigarettes? You should stop smoking cigarettes. Why? Well, look at this. And they show you these people whose vocal cords have been taken out or whatever. Oh, no, I'm in fear. I don't want that to happen to me. And so fear is used to move us. That's not how God works. God is love. God says, come to me. There's no fear here. I love you. I think about the voice of truth, who tells us a different story. Psalm 56:3 says this: when I am afraid, here's what my gut reaction is going to be: I will trust in you. This is how we, when we're born again, when God is at the center of our heart, like that coach in that high school in Oregon, you step towards that thing and you say, you know what? The power of love is greater than anything on the face of the earth. Even greater than fear. In your natural sense, in the natural world, fear is hardwired in us. Can this thing eat me? Oh yeah, from the coronavirus on down, let me motivate you with fear. But that's not how God says. God says, come unto me, all you who are weary, if you're heavy laden, if you're burdened, I will give you rest. Common sense, of course, says stay home. Close all the non-essential businesses. Be safe. Wash your hands. Cover your sneeze. I mean, that's all great advice. But we, as the church, we believe that what Jesus did is a very essential and a very essential business, if you will. It's essential that you know that there is a different truth, and the truth that is 100% pure comes right from this book. And that's why myself, I'm here live in front of you today. That's why the entire staff of this church is here behind those cameras, running the sound system, running the lights, running the projector system, online, chatting with you right now. We're here for you. This is essential that we gather here each and every Sunday until the governor lifts this order. We have not stopped proclaiming the gospel. We are here. We're reaching out to you in every way that we can. Email us, text us, chat with us, write us. We'll send out what God has to say, who you are, to you. Again, the number to text is 217-685-4124. Text us now. Reach out to us. Whatever you're going through, we're here to pray for you. We're here to bless you. We're here to encourage you. If you've hung around during this broadcast and you're thinking, gosh, that's the first time I've heard something like that, or maybe today is the day I'm going to step over and I am going to trust God. Well, this is your day. Right now where you're at, you just simply have to say, God, I love you. Just say it out loud. I trust you. You don't even have to bow your head and close your eyes. You know, this is not an embarrassing thing. You right there in that room. I don't even know if someone else is there with you, but you say it out loud, maybe together with your whole family. Just say it. God, I love you. God, I trust you. I give you my life. I give you all my fear. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I want to know the word of truth. I want Jesus in my life. I want you, Jesus. Help me. I need you so badly. That prayer right there is the beginning of a love relationship with someone whose name is Jesus, who is alive. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. No matter what comes your way, whatever fear the world tries to sow into you, don't worry. I got this, and I got you. Remember that song? Maybe you learned it as a kid. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. So I'm here. This church, Destiny Church, we're here for you as best as we can during these very tenuous times. We love you. We're here to bless you. Have your teenagers tune in on Wednesday. Pastor Sydney's got stuff for the kids on the kids page. And every Sunday, as the Lord allows, we will be here for you. Make it part of your schedule. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing. But join here with us in faith. Would you bow your head with me? Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for the church, the body of Christ, meeting at every church, online, streaming, no matter where we are today in the world, that we would choose to believe the voice of truth. That it tells us a different story. Do not be afraid. And I ask that the peace of heaven and the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit rest upon you. Not just today, but as these false prophets, as the winds and the rains and the thunder and the storms of the world around us, the tempests roll. Know this, God loves you. He's got you and me, brother, you and me, sister, right in the palm of his hand. And so I pray that the peace of God would pass, that passes understanding, would now guard your heart, and that Psalm 91 would be something that you would just put into your spirit every day for the next several weeks, that his grace would be upon you and you would find strength on the inside to weather every storm, to lift high your head and to know that Jesus loves you. He's for you and not against you. So Father, we put our lives into your hands now and we thank you for your word and we stand in faith knowing that greater is he that is within us than he that's what's in the world. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If today's message encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. Stay up to date with new messages by becoming a subscriber today. To find events taking place or to give to Destiny Church, visit us at destiny217.org. At Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships.